and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. With me, Robin, today, are Martin.
I can't go first. Look who's back.
Look who's back. It's Alex.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Very well,
we're fine.
You.
How are you? Because you've been away.
I've been fine. I've been searching for Atlantis. I've got some bad news in that regard. I didn't find Atlantis. I got kind of waylaid, ended up in the Canary Islands. I don't know how that happened, but yeah, I didn't find Atlantis.
Was it some kind of portal? Did you fly into a portal?
Possibly. Yeah. I did go into a long metal tube.
Oh.
And I was
Augustus Gloop.
I flew through the air for like several hours. So yeah, that could have been a portal. I don't know. Wow. I don't know what it was. But I did actually find while I was there a long gold metal bar that was kind of triangular. Yeah. Cool. In the magical land of duty free. Yeah.
When you scrape the surface, did you find chocolate?
It's all right.
I was going to go. I was going to take that and then cut it short.
I was on holiday. Yeah, I was on holiday, but I'm back now.
Skiving.
Yeah.
So you had a good time.
It was lovely.
A little bit of a tan going. Yeah, quite nice.
It's mostly faded now, but yeah, it was.
If that's faded, you're doing okay.
That's a pretty good tan for a faded tan.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And thank you to Chris from 101 Facts for filling in for me while I've been away. I love Chris.
I thought he replaced you very well.
Almost too well, actually. I'm a bit worried.
A massive thank you to Chris from 101 Facts for being our guest on the show whilst Alex was away, and definitely have him back on again sometime soon. Not to replace you anytime. I wanted to discuss a big event that happened very recently, which I think we're all aware of. Even people watching us and listening to us will know about Storm Area 51. So I wanted to update on what actually happened. But as well as that, Alex, you'll be talking about something.
I'll be talking about a new landmark ruling that the EU courts have decided that. I'll go into it, but it's to do with data and our rights to privacy.
You just have something to do with Google.
It does.
Everything's got to do with Google, really. And Martin, you'll be...
I'm doing a quiz.
Hosting the weekly quiz.
And there's no theme as such.
Oh.
But I've chucked in a couple of rugby questions because, of course, it's the best time of the year.
I didn't even know it was the World Cup.
Well, that's your problem. You should be concentrating more and getting up at 5 a.m. like I have to watch every game.
That's the crazy thing. I haven't seen any of the games, but in a way, them being really early in the morning has been perfect. It's like the best time, rather than having to race home.
Yeah.
To catch it in the pub or something.
I've been kind of awake anyway because of the little one. Been getting up, watching as much as I can.
Yeah.
And most of them are like Saturdays and stuff. So it's been good. It's been good fun. I don't mind.
That clone was a bad idea.
The clone was a bad idea, yeah.
Just keeps you awake all the time.
The little one just made a really small clone of myself.
Yeah, the beard is impressive for such a small thing. let's get on with some possibly real aliens or not. Who knows? With an update on Storm Area 51. So some context, some background information. I'm sure you're familiar with this already, but I thought I'd just recap what happened. Area 51, we know what that is, don't we? It's a top secret US Air Force base.
Or do we? Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Officially, it is a top secret US Air Force base used to test and develop new technologies. It's existed since at least the 1950s, possibly earlier, probably created as part of the nuclear program, which started in the 1940s, and only officially recognized in 2013, thanks to a request made under the Freedom of Information Act. According to the CIA, the correct names for it are not Area 51, but Homey Airport or Groom Lake.
Groom Lake.
Good luck getting those names to stick after Area 51.
It's just too catchy.
It's not going to happen.
Interestingly, it's next to Area 15. So I wonder if Area 51 is a kind of joke, a military joke. It's the dark side.
Yeah.
Who knows? in July 2019, and this is when this whole shebang started, and a Facebook event was created by a man called Matty Roberts, who's a college student in Bakersfield, California, and the event was called Storm Area 51, They Can't Stop All of Us.
Oh, Matty, what did you do?
He said he was inspired by Bob Lazar's appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Joe Rogan, what have you done?
Just goes to show the influence that these things can have.
Yeah.
The proposed plan on the Facebook event was for anyone interested to gather at the town of Rachel in Nevada, because it's the closest settlement to Area 51. It's only about 12 miles away. The population of Rachel, Nevada is 54 people,
yeah,
according to the 2010 census. Wow. Apparently it hasn't changed much. And the plan was to cross the desert from Rachel at around 3 a.m. on the 20th of September 2019 to storm the gates and get inside, specifically by doing a Naruto run across the Nevada desert towards Area 51, with the aim of overpowering any guards and breaking into the top secret facility to find out what, if anything, is kept there, with an emphasis on exposing any extraterrestrial technology or beings that the US Air Force holds there.
I did see a Naruto run.
Yeah.
I did see one. As I retweeted, I think.
Oh, it was on the news, wasn't it? That was amazing. That was
If you haven't seen it, my favorite clip from that day.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, just type in Area 51 Naruto run and you'll find it.
As the name of the event suggests, the assumption was that if enough people gathered to storm Area 51, government forces would be unable to do anything about it because they have heavily armed guards and lots of surveillance, but they don't have many guards at the base. Although I think the personnel at the base is at least 1,000, possibly 2,000 or higher.
Mm. Really?
But a lot of them are researchers, so not necessarily armed personnel. Yeah.
So they've got like planes and stuff though, right?
Yeah, they got. I mean, they've got airstrike. Fighter jets.
yeah, they call them an airstrike. I mean,
does this headcount include aliens?
Oh,
that's
a good point.
You start, unleashing
that's
aliens.
That's a very good point. Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, they wouldn't. Yeah.
I guess that would be mission success in a way, wouldn't it? If the aliens started killing them, because at least they'd,
proven the aliens. Yeah,
I'm dying happy. Yeah.
Well, the event on Facebook rapidly went viral. It earned over a million people expressing interest in the event within a couple of days. And at the last count, 1.5 million people signed up as interested in the event and 2.1 million said they'd go. So that's a total of 3.6 million people. Naturally, this caused a bit of a kerfuffle. The US military warned anybody who might join the event that they shouldn't go and that the military were prepared to defend it.
Whoa.
The FBI made a house call to Matty Roberts, who created the event, and he assured them and then publicly insisted that it was just a joke. He said it was a hoax, wasn't meant to be taken seriously.
That's actually terrifying. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's fancy getting a house call from the FBI. Yeah.
It's I put that your Naruto run towards Area 51 and you get an FBI call for that.
You don't get the feeling that the FBI have much of a sense of humor, do you?
Yeah.
So they take everything seriously, like just in case. So they can't they've got to cover their backs, right?
Yeah, you're right.
They're so serious with everything, though, aren't they?
Yeah. I think I'm saying that, and as I'm saying it, I'm thinking they were two men with black ties and black suits and sunglasses, but I suppose they could have been just casually dressed FBI agents. What do they wear these days? Who knows?
Maybe it wasn't the FBI at all. Maybe it was just government agents, you know? Maybe they were bald, had a pale complexion. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Maybe they were
It's relevant in this case. Yep. It's directly relevant. Well, what actually happened? Come the 20th of September 2019, the arranged date for Storm Area 51. Well, according to Reuters...
What didn't happen? No, what did happen?
Reuters estimates that over 3,000 people gathered at Rachel on Friday the 19th. No, Friday the 20th, sorry.
20th. Really? Wow, that's more than I thought, actually.
Yeah, I saw on the live stream.
Yeah, but then of those 3,000 people, only 150, although some estimates say as many as 200 people, traversed the rough roads at night to gather at the entrance to Area 51 at 3 a.m.
Oh, you've gone all the way there and you don't even go up to the gates.
I know.
What?
But this is the great part. They did do a Naruto run.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And good. As you saw, other people did during the daytime. But this bunch of people actually did do a Naruto run.
I mean, you're in the desert. Yeah. What else is there to do?
Yeah.
You're just standing around saying, well, should we do it then?
What do you think happened to those people? Those 150 to 200 people who went up to the gate.
They were massacred by the US government. Covered up.
I imagine that they just had a bit of a laugh with the guards, didn't do much at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
I reckon
it was probably a relaxed
atmosphere. See you later.
Yeah.
See you next year. And it's probably going to become a festival now, isn't it? Everything becomes a festival.
I mean,
some people probably...
You predicted the end of the story there.
Oh, really?
That's for sure, yeah.
Some people probably sheepishly went up to the guards and said, can I come in, please? Yeah. And they said... Definitely not.
Are there aliens?
Go around.
I wouldn't be able to tell you. Yeah. And if I did know, I wouldn't tell you.
Blink if there's aliens. I have to blink, but that doesn't mean there's aliens.
Also, wait a second. Blink once I've got a torch on your face because I can't see you in the dark. Yeah. Well, actually, one woman at least tried to climb over the fence.
Really?
And got turned back by the guards on the other side.
Go down.
There was an attempt.
Yeah.
The crowd was dispersed when armed personnel turned up. I think an armed vehicle was involved. It turned up in a armored truck, but I'm just not sure about that. Right? Yeah, just for the cameras. But in total, how many people do you think were arrested?
Zero.
I reckon a handful, maybe like four or five.
Okay, five people were arrested. Wow. Yeah. Five people were arrested, three for trespassing onto Area 51. And one man was arrested for an alcohol-related incident, presumably got a bit brawly.
I mean, what else are you going to do apart from just take a few cans down with you?
And another man got arrested for indecent exposure.
Oh, no. Slashing the aliens.
Well, it's sadly, actually, he was taking a pee. And I thought, if you can't pee in the desert, honestly.
Where can you?
Yeah, indecent exposure in the desert, come on.
I mean, I very much doubt there's toilets next to the gate of Area 51, right?
Exactly. There's the guardhouse, maybe. Maybe, who knows? Yeah. Maybe he did ask him. He's like, can I use your toilet? Yeah. He's like,
no. I just really need the toilet.
No, but I will arrest you if you pee over there in the desert. That's mad.
That's what happened. Yeah. Nearly everyone who did turn up was described by journalists who attended as a reveler, usually in fancy dress, lots of people dressed as aliens, quite typical. A lot of them wearing big, quite hefty suits. You know, alien suits. It's not the kind of practical gear that you would expect for a genuine invasion of Area 51. Bulletproof alien, yeah. There was a highlight, though, on the evening, apparently. A man brandishing a plunger, who became known as Plunger Guy, real name Gary Winthorpe.
All right. Dob him in.
he led the Naruto run to the main gate.
Okay.
So apparently, the 3,000 people.
What a legacy.
Yeah, I know. What a legacy. 3,000 people turned up. Nobody was doing anything. And this guy, plunger guy, said, literally, apparently, raised his plunger in the air and said,
"Why did
something
on
lines of plunging for the truth."
Oh, I see. Nice.
That was his. I mean,
could have gone with anything.
He could have had a shovel digging for the truth.
Yeah,
that would have been better, more heavy.
A torch shining the light on the truth.
Yeah.
Nice. These are all
pickaxes picking apart the lies. Yeah. It could be all kinds of things going on here.
But he went for a plunger.
Maybe he just grabbed the first thing he found in the bathroom.
A used plunger. For the sake of the podcast, a used plunger.
Gary, why do you have a bar of soap? It was the first thing I could find. Going to clean up this act or whatever.
We keep going. It's cool.
So why was this so anticlimactic is the next question.
Because 2-3 million people signed up and there are only 3,000.
Yeah. What is that, 1%? Is that even? No, that's less than 1%.
It's 1,000, isn't it? 1.1%.
Well, there you go. It's basically like for the maths.
Any Facebook event ever, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
I invite people to my party. Oh, yeah, we want to come. Yeah. And then, you know, who actually turns up?
Nobody, yeah. Oh. I am going to feel a lot
people
better about
people not invited and then the police.
Yeah, exactly.
Just turn up. It's like you're arrested for indecent exposure. I'm in my own home. What's going on? Well, the reasons it might be anticlimactic are complex. Obviously, the nature of online media, social media in particular, is part of it. It also might be because the creator of the event, Matty Roberts, retreated from the whole thing and converted it into some kind of festival called Alien Stock, which is kind of inspired by Burning Man.
What stock?
Yeah. Obviously, that's the pun going on there. He teamed up with Connie West, who operates the Little Alien in Rachel, which is apparently the only business in Rachel or something like that.
Was it like a cafe / souvenir shop, right?
Yeah, it's an inn and restaurant and it sells some merchandise, I think, yeah. And together, Connie West, and Matty Roberts, planned the Alien Stock, which was to have live music, arts, and camping under the stars to celebrate aliens and the unknown. But then, in response to this, the Alien Research Center in Hico, Nevada, which is 40 miles away and has a population of 119 people, so it's twice as big as Rachel,
stand no chance.
Set up its own event in opposition to Alien Stock for real ufologists. And they called it Area 51 Base Camp. So now we've got two events going on at the same time, inspired by the same event set up by Matty Roberts. Then Matty Roberts pulled out of Alien Stock on the 10th of September, 9 days before it's supposed to start, concerned that it would turn into another fire festival.
And an all-night rave.
Yeah. And he accepted an offer by Budweiser and Collective Zoo to host a free event in Las Vegas, also going by the name Alien Stock. Although posters call it Area 51 Celebration.
I can understand why he switched.
Yeah.
He spent a night out in Rachel in the middle of the desert, which is kind of be cool.
Yeah.
But then Las Vegas, yeah, sponsored by Bubba. He's cashing in, isn't he?
He was there signing autographs and things.
Apparently. Why? Yeah. He set up a Facebook page.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? So now you've got three
Matty,
events.
If you do want to come on to the show, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Matty. Please do.
if you get this podcast to Matty, because we want him on the show. Yeah.
So you got three events all happening at the same time, none of them being the possibly insincere search for the truth that was originally declared in July.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you want to know what happened to each of them?
Oh, yeah, please.
Area 51 base camp in Hiko was cancelled on the first day because although it had planned to be a three-day event, 500 people out of an anticipated 5,000 turned up. But you could buy alien embryo toys and alien poop, which is just rocks.
There you go.
Silver linings.
Silver linings.
So people... Oh, man.
500 is still quite a lot, though. In fact, that's more than I would have thought.
Yeah.
I imagine if you travelled there and then they're like, oh, no, sorry, there's not enough people. Yeah. You'd be like, what? It'd be so annoying.
I mean, they're opportunistic people set up stores. I just want to buy alien people.
Sure, you carry on, right? Yeah. You just carry on.
It's going. Mm. And again, 500 on the first day and you've got the Saturday and the Sunday to go, you could maybe increase that to 1,500
maybe,
or something.
Yeah. Maybe there are other issues as well.
The Area 51 celebration in Las Vegas, which was a one-night-only event on the 19th of September, started at 8 p.m. As many as 5,000 people attended.
Wow.
It was basically an electric dance rave.
But how many people were just going to go to that anyway? Themed it as Area 51.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine it helped.
Yeah.
I imagine it might be part of something that's probably going to be in the news. And if Matty Roberts is there with his champagne.
Well, here's an interesting thing. One reporter...
himself.
Yeah. One report, I assume there was one journalist who was there and said that Matty Roberts apparently turned up for a brief appearance, but they didn't see him and they were a bit disparaging about him. However,
he's probably 13.
Not even that. He's, I think, like 19, 20 or something. Okay. But this reporter said that rather disparagingly. But if you read other reporters' accounts or just look at photos, Matty Roberts was there for a good couple of hours signing autographs and talking to the crowd from a microphone. I think this particular reporter didn't really go.
What a strange situation.
I know.
To be in, if you're Matty Roberts, imagine that. You're like, I've created a Facebook page. The next thing I know, I'm speaking to a crowd in Las Vegas.
That's mad about it. Yeah. This phenomenon you've started.
Autographs. Imagine having that a few years later.
That's a weird thing, yeah.
I've never understood autographs.
He said that he wants to trademark the name Alien Stock and take the event on tour for people who didn't make it to Nevada. But it was just a rave. It was a gig.
What, the Vegas one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not 100% sure what he...
I mean, it also seems like if you're not at Area 51 nearby, what's the point?
Yeah.
surely Alien Stock is all about being there. Yeah. And
unless it's on that date each year and becomes like an actual thing.
Yeah.
You can't really take on tour though, can you?
Yeah. You could go to different, like...
coming to a weather...
UFO. Yeah. Go to different UFO sites. Bring it to the UK. Take it to Rendlesham.
It's just called Alien Stock. It could be anywhere. It could go to Shag Harbour, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe once every like 10 years or so it goes back to Area 51.
Yeah.
See, you could hire us, Matty. We could be your
strategists.
Your UK branch.
UK branch. We should be in charge of UK alien stock. Yeah, just saying. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, we've all got terrible musical taste though. Just get erasure. Oh, never mind. So that was Area 51 celebration, aka Alien Stock. But the Alien Stock Festival that happened in the town of Rachel in Nevada says that up to 10,000 people came over the course of the weekend. 3,000 on Friday, according to Reuters, but 10,000 over the course of the weekend.
Mm, wow. How many people usually visit Rachel?
Apparently not that many.
Okay.
Apparently that was exceptional. But I did wonder about this, and it was like, but normally... like,
good for business.
Like, over a weekend.
They'll be well happy with Alien Stock continuing if they can.
Exactly. So... Connie West, who kept on organizing the event, apparently sunk her own money into it after Matty Roberts pulled out, says that she hinted that she plans to make it an annual thing. And she's actually filed a legal complaint against Matty Roberts and his other pals who pulled out of Alien Stock. Accusing them of making defamatory remarks by saying it was cancelled when it actually wasn't, because she went ahead with it.
I guess that would annoy me if
she
was saying it's cancelled when she's like, actually, no, I've invested
my own money into this. Yeah. It's not cancelled, it's going ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would annoy me.
Especially if you're like, you're expecting that
thousands,
income.
Yeah.
Well, Nevada State says that they expected, or they expected to be able to cope with 30,000 people, but no more. And this is where a lot of the shock and the surprise and the paranoia came from, like the authorities saying, don't do this, this is really bad, because they were convinced they couldn't handle more than 30,000 people, because there's no grocery store in Rachel, there's no facilities outside of that restaurant.
People would die.
People would die.
And probably a whole lot of snakes and scorpions.
Yeah. Well, yeah, camping. I think a few people were hospitalized from dehydration and exhaustion. No one died, luckily. But yeah, you're right. Well, the wildlife could have been a problem. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Nevada State says that they... preparations for the event cost them $250,000.
Oh god.
Oh. Yeah. Did they really make that money back?
Oh, and well, maybe not. You know, they're just preparing law enforcement and emergency services to respond for any anything that might happen. On Sunday, so 2 days after it started, the military sent out a tweet which they claim was a joke, saying that potential trespassers on Area 51 would be shot. And then they had to issue an apology the next day.
Good.
And
I wonder who's the social media person for that.
Yeah.
Always wonder this. Like, you know, like weird, are they weird things to
get an actual soldier.
You get those edgy new corporate Twitter accounts and that kind of thing.
And the police.
But the military. You can't have that for the military, can you?
No.
Just about to nuke North Korea, lol.
Yeah.
Well, didn't they get in trouble last year for something similar where they said, like, We're ready to drop the mother. Oh, what was it like? I think it was like North Korea or Saudi Arabia, and they said something, and then the official military account tweeted something like, "We're ready to bomb the shit out of them," or something like that. And then they said it was a joke. And just like,
there are some
dude,
interesting ones. When you, it's a new age of social media where worlds do collide. Do you remember the Indian Army one when they're like, "We found the Yeti."
Yeti, yeah. Found was that Yeti. Actually a joke in the end?
I don't know. Yeah. I think they were fairly serious.
Oh wow!
We found the Yeti.
These Yeti footprints, cool. And it had images of just the Indian Army. It was the Indian Army, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
Indian Army just standing there like quite seriously just like looking at the camera, and it's like, this does not add up.
What are they trying to achieve by announcing this? It must be true. I thought I'd just close with a couple of quotations from people who went there.
Okay.
Some of these enthusiasts. So Andrew Hastings from California said the whole event was a bit of a letdown. It's a little bit disappointing. I was hoping more people would be here. I kind of wanted to storm the gates if more people were there, but I'd say it's a bit underwhelming, is what he said.
I mean, imagine going there with the expectation of you're going to discover alien secrets.
And then
it's actually just, you know...
kind of party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a bit underwhelming.
Yeah, well, apparently the atmosphere... and I get this, looking at the pictures as well. It does seem like it was a small enough event, but also big enough that you didn't feel alone, but it was kind of relaxed. And Ed Callahan, also from California, said... the atmosphere was just chill.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
Just chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just there in the camper van.
That first guy, if he's thinking they're actually going to storm and get into Area 51, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, seems a bit mad.
Yeah. Interesting one, though. Mm. Will they do it again next year? Will it become a commercial proposition? Will the owner of that, what's it called, the place in...
Little Alien. Region? Yeah.
Little Alien. Will they come to regret this as more... businesses pop up to maybe,
maybe
to cash in on the event,
and maybe Matty was playing the long game. Do this on a yearly thing, gradually the numbers go up, and then 10 years from now he's like, right, let's storm the gates. Maybe that's
fancy getting on board with a storm or drain Loch Ness.
Drain Loch Ness.
And then we can set up an event in the Highlands of Scotland, can't we? Each year of drain Loch Ness, and it's actually just drinking.
Nessie can't stop us all.
Yeah. No. Drink the lock dry. It's just a beer festival.
Oh yeah. I like that. Oh, yeah, that sounds fun actually.
Yeah.
Nice. Beer festival. Does it have to be Loch Ness then?
Well, no.
Just a beer festival anyway, really.
Yeah, but you cash in on the drink. Drink the lock dry to find out what's going on. But actually, we're just drinking.
Yeah. Mm. And then you get the government saying, please do not literally drink the lock water. You will die.
Yeah. And that would absolutely happen.
As on last week's podcast.
Yeah.
There are definitely things you don't want to be drinking from the lock.
Which you hadn't seen. Chris had some insights there, didn't he? Yes.
Yeah, about what's actually in the lock. Bits of eels.
Lots of eels, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
What's like 3,000 eels? Something crazy like that?
Something like that.
So,
the exact figure.
That's the update on Storm Area 51. Kind of an anticlimax. I find it a bit
It was always going to be, right?
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah. But at least something happened. You know, some people did try, and I'm pleased.
Yeah. Yeah. It went better than I thought it would.
It went pretty much exactly as I thought. It's like, if there's a million people who have signed up, 3 million or whatever it is,
yeah,
a tiny percentage are actually going to do something, and they're just going to be like pissing about.
Yeah.
It's always going to be the case.
Yeah. But, you know, I can't decide if I'm dismayed or encouraged by the fact that what started as a joke has now become potentially a business tradition. Like a typical like American entrepreneurial spirit. Like, yeah, we're going to turn this into a business venture. You know, I'm going to go on tour with Alien Stock, having started a Facebook joke.
I mean, he's not, though, is he? I mean,
it'll probably fail in a couple of years.
As soon as one person dies, it will be shut down. I guarantee they will, and if it keeps going for like the next couple of years.
You could have it as an annual event. If he takes on tour to like clubs and stuff, it'd be like a few people scrapping in the middle of a dance floor with like some alien balloons around. This is not good.
But if it actually happens at Area 51, the other Alien Stock arranged by Connie West.
Once a year.
If that happens every year,
like
imagine though, if it becomes enough of a tradition, like, you know, barriers almost literally get broken down, and you get like the guards get used to these revelers being there every year. Eventually the government's like, yeah, we'll start being a bit more open to the public, and then, you know, you never know.
You never know. No, it's true.
In 20 years time, if it's still going, the truth will out, maybe, possibly.
It should definitely be in July though, rather than September.
Yeah, because that's Roswell. When actually I guess he did it in July because that's when Joe Rogan's podcast went out.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Designed around the anniversary of Roswell.
I'm sure he didn't actually anticipate that this would blow up like it did.
Yeah, imagine not. Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Please let us know either in YouTube comments if you're watching this on YouTube, or by sending us a message to our Twitter accounts. I'm at All Time Robin.
At All Time Martin.
At Alex Brown ATC, I think.
Yes, probably. You are. Yes, you are. Wow. Yes. Yeah. That was a struggle.
It's been three weeks.
It's been too long.
It's been a while.
Been too long.
And if anyone was there, actually, if anyone was at at Area 51 this September 19th/20th weekend, do get in touch. And we'll definitely mention you on the podcast if we deem it to be true and not you just sending us rubbish.
Cool.
Speaking of your comments and thoughts, favorite YouTube comments?
Almost a segue.
Almost a segue.
It was good. I've got a couple. When it loads. Oh, here we go. I've got it. Perfect. So this one from Adriana Z. Smith says, so did anyone storm Area 51 yesterday?
There's your answer.
Your question has been answered.
Yeah. Well, maybe people people did. Also relevant, Dave Games Room commented, do you think that Donald Trump will announce aliens disclosures during his presidency?
No.
I think we've said this before. It's a good question, but we said this before pretty much as soon as he became president. It was just like, if he doesn't say anything, it means there's nothing there, because he would say if he knew.
And also, he would say if he knew, so the military would never ever tell him.
It goes with, and we know for a fact that there's certain things that they're keeping from him for national security reasons. Although they're also telling him, they're still telling him quite a lot, and that's why these things keep happening with Trump, isn't it? It's just like, he's in security risk. It's like, well, just stop telling him this stuff. You know, it's easier if you just don't tell him.
I can imagine him making something up and saying it if it would help him like distract from something else going on. So like right now with the whole Ukraine thing, if he just came out and said, there are aliens at Area 51, then people would suddenly be talking about that instead of...
He wouldn't say that legitimately though, would he?
No,
it'd be like, there are some shady things going on.
Believe me, I've seen it all.
Lots of people talking about this.
Aliens, well, I'll leave it up to you.
I didn't say that, but I know that there are things there that, they would shock me to my core.
You'd be surprised kind of thing.
Technically, you're probably correct there, because they've got all kinds of brand new technology that would shock you if you knew that they could do it. Like I was surprised, like with I was learning about when they killed Osama bin Laden, you know, back in 2011.
I
want to
say
whenever it was. It doesn't really matter. But supposedly, they had these like, they went to Area 51 because they had these cutting edge, unused stealth helicopters. They used for the mission.
Stealth helicopters.
Helicopters. They're like
silent.
They're probably relatively silent.
They're like silencers on pistols are not silent.
They still make a noise, they're just much quieter. But yeah, the stealth ones, it's more to do with radar. Like they're undetectable to radar. Which I know is the point, but it still amused me when I was looking into it. sorry, this is a bit of a tangent, but like they've got these stealth helicopters and they've got these Navy SEALs and they've got this compound to break into to get Osama bin Laden. And the whole point of sending in the Navy SEALs is because they're not sure bin Laden's there, so they just want to blow it up with a missile strike. They want to send people in to discreetly and quietly go in and out, and it's all fine.
Yep. Yeah.
But they literally land the helicopters next to the compound. Like they just fly overhead and just land on top of it, basically. I'm like,
they're stealth.
This isn't stuff. the whole point of sending in the Navy SEALs is for them to discreetly check if Osama's there before they're doing a thing. And these massive helicopters, and there's like four of them, just land on the compound. And they're like, "You're here." I mean, obviously, it was a successful mission, and they know what they're doing, and they're professionals. But it did, like, that's military thinking.
Someone just looks out the window. Yeah. It's like, "Oh, there."
Anyway, sorry, that was a tangent. I was just reminding.
Interesting.
Air Force technology.
Alex, you got anything else to add?
So Jabberwaffle. Nice. This is in the most recent video, 10 people who faked their own death.
Yeah.
Yes.
He said, you have to wonder how many people have successfully gotten away with faking their own deaths. Because obviously the ones in that list are the ones that we know faked their death. So obviously they weren't very successful.
Would you fake your death? Okay, sorry.
If you had not to, right now.
If you had to, how would you do it?
Would you?
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. If I had to fake my own death. Oh, wow. You put me on the spot there.
Yeah.
Meat grinder. That's what sprang to mind.
That's not really the whole solution, though. Just meat grinder.
Yeah. Meat grinder.
I mean, it's a good way of identifying the bodies.
Wood chipper. Right? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But you have to have no teeth and... You'd have to put some of your hair in there, probably.
Actually, yeah. No,
otherwise,
maybe.
Otherwise they were testing. Oh, this is beef. This is beef, Alex.
Yeah.
Or a dog.
Maybe what I do, actually, is have...
Alex was very small. It's because you put a cat in there.
Maybe what you'd have to do is leave behind a finger or some teeth.
Ooh, you'd cut off your own finger.
Who are we looking for? Just a man with four fingers.
All he had left was this finger.
And then if anyone finds you, they'd be like...
The four-fingered man. Oh, yeah, that would give it away.
Too easy.
See, look, I'm not good at this. How would you, Robin?
You've got to go
how would you fake your death?
Go somewhere there's no. You can't be in the UK because there's too many CCTV cameras. That's you have true. To go abroad. Somewhere you have to go somewhere that aren't any cameras for starters. Mm. So someone can track you to the location that you're in, but there's not enough. There's no cameras there, and a huge. But I don't know.
I mean, in fairness, Robin could just plug himself into the mainframe and delete any information that the government has on him.
I could do this.
take off that silicon skin as well.
Just like the wire.
Yeah, a new face. Yeah.
Yep. Easy.
Change the voice.
There's that program where people try and run away from the authorities, isn't there?
Hunted. Yeah, it's quite
and
good.
And so you get a few tips on how to kind of disappear from that.
That's true.
I guess they're not faking their own death, are they?
I think that's what I'd do, though. If I had to, I would probably fake my death, but in a way that's obviously like I've tried to fake my death, and then actually have my second fake death so that they follow the leads thinking that I faked my death, and then they find me
dead.
Double bluff, exactly. Nice. They're like, oh, he died after trying to fake his own death. Or he committed suicide because his first fake death didn't work. Actually, I did fake the suicide.
They've got to not be able to find. Of course, they won't find your body. But they've got to, there's got to be a presumption that your body is lost. That's why a lot of people go to sea because it's like the body's lost, therefore they're dead. But they're not expecting to find a body. Because if it's on land, they'll be like, "Well, I haven't found it, so they're probably alive."
Yeah. I think the most feasible way, genuinely, you would need some money, and I think you just have to bribe people to say that you died. You're dead.
Yeah,
I think that's probably the only way of doing it. Like, because you'd need to bribe officials and that
friends
kind of thing.
And things as well. Because the more people you know, the more people there'll be who
wonder.
Yeah,
how did he die? Yeah. He's just dead.
Or who's like, he wouldn't do that. Like, he'd never walk that way to the shop. He doesn't like crossing the road.
Where
there.
Do you live, Robin? What's going on?
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
I wouldn't plug myself into the mainframe because it would be very painful. whilst on topic of erasing data,
good segue.
Thank you.
Fire today. First one was good. That one was exceptional.
That was adequate. I did have to bring it back around though, so it's not quite as smooth as I hoped.
So there was this new story from Google actually that Google has won a landmark right to be forgotten case. So this is from
Google
the...
isn't going to be forgotten.
No, definitely not. But the EU's top court has ruled that Google does not have to apply the right to be forgotten globally.
Yes.
So this is a pretty big deal. Only in Europe. Only in Europe. So right. European citizens at the moment have a right to be forgotten in case you aren't aware. So they can request their data or sensitive information, I think it is, from Google and from like places that hold their data to just like get rid of it. And they'll have to do that. I think they have a month to respond to their request, people's requests.
Mm. Does this set a precedent then that any multinational corporation only has to obey the laws of the countries it operates in within those countries and not? So the law is not, you know, like the companies are essentially above the law except on a local level is what I'm saying. Is that what it's saying?
Believes
well,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, companies,
yeah. Yeah. Companies follow
the jurisdiction; they have to go by the jurisdiction that they're in, rather than there being some kind of global law.
Yeah.
Companies obey the laws of the countries that they're in, right?
So, who made this court ruling?
So this was the EU top court.
Okay, so the UK, it looks like when we're out of the EU, this might change for UK citizens?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with that because it all depends whether we're automatically going to adopt all of EU's laws automatically until we write our own laws or whatever.
Try and untangle it somehow.
Yeah, so I mean, that's interesting. But yeah, so it means the firm only needs to remove links from its search results in Europe and not elsewhere after receiving an appropriate request. So this stems from a dispute that Google had with a French privacy regulator called CNIL, C-N-I-L. C-N-I-L?
Yeah. Right, me forgotten. CNIL.
Oh, that's too perfect. Okay. So in 2015, they ordered Google to remove search result listings to pages containing damaging or false information about the person, which makes sense. If there's fake information online, you know, they want it removed.
They're claiming it's fake.
Well, this is part of Google's argument against this. Like, this can be abused and manipulated by different individuals and governments. So it's, on the surface, this seems like bad news, but actually it's kind of a mixed bag. I'm not sure how I feel about it. And then the following year after this case, Google introduced a geo-blocking feature that prevents European users from being able to see delisted links. So essentially they're not removing the links entirely. They're just preventing people from within the EU from seeing them.
I see.
Yeah.
So there will be ways to get around this within the EU if you wanted to.
So the data hasn't been eradicated from the internet at all.
It's
or
just,
Google servers.
It's just hidden in certain from countries. EU people living within the EU, which now that actually sounds quite almost like it's the people in the EU are under censorship kind of thing.
Yeah, weird.
So it's
I was thinking about VPNs.
Well, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, just get around that.
Yeah. Mm. You could still find the info even if you're in the country that's supposedly blocked in.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So they resisted censoring search results for people in other parts of the world, and they challenged a €100,000 fine that CNIL had tried to impose on them. And they say, so this is the European Court of Justice ruling.
Right.
They quote...
Dora's still laughing at CNIL.
Oh, okay. Currently, there is no obligation under EU law for a search engine operator who grants a request for dereferencing made by a data subject to carry out such a dereferencing on all the versions of its search engines. So that's basically what the ruling said.
Right. Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. Just basically for people in Europe, it only applies to people searching in Europe.
Yeah. So people, if you want to be forgotten, you can make the request verbally or in written writing. And you have the right to demand data. If you're an EU citizen, you have the right to demand that your data be erased.
That's interesting.
And the recipient has 1 month to respond to that request. So I guess after that, you can escalate it or sue them or something. I don't know.
I mean, that is a big undertaking for them as well, right? For Google. It's a huge undertaking.
Yeah. And it gets quite interesting as well, this ruling, because they've made another stipulation in it that... Let me just find it. So this ruling said that they don't have to... Listings should be kept, like, if they're strictly necessary... it's kind of striking a balance. They indicated, though, that maybe they should... So that's it. So they said they should try and make them fall down search listings over time for information that's not relevant, or maybe like fake information, or like information that's a bit sensitive, which is kind of manipulating Google's search algorithm, asking them to manipulate Google's search algorithm, which I'm not sure how that would work. But yeah, it would be a huge undertaking for Google to comply with that.
Hmm.
So yeah, it's an interesting one.
And
Google had made the argument that this obligation to remove sensitive information that people request globally could be abused by authoritarian governments trying to cover up human rights abuses.
Yeah.
Were it applied outside of Europe.
Imagine if Jeffrey Epstein had been able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, when the small court case where he didn't really get into trouble for it a few years ago, if he'd been able to get all information globally removed on the web about him.
It becomes that would quickly become very, very...
Anyone can sense what they want, really.
And murky, wouldn't it?
The Chinese government could basically censor the whole internet by getting negative information.
No more Winnie the Pooh references to...
No more Winnie the Pooh on the internet.
Yeah, just gone. It's interesting, because I remember when they announced the right to be forgotten, I was definitely in this camp that we're talking about now, which is like, it can be easily abused. I think it's a bad idea.
Mm.
But I'm obviously a big fan of privacy. But I do think if you've done something... publicly noteworthy, you know, a crime, for instance, or even a good thing, obviously, if you've done something that has caught public attention, then I think it immediately falls into the category of it's no longer private information. Private information like your children's names, for instance, when they haven't done anything, if that's in the public domain, because, you know, newspapers often find celebrities' children's names out, if the celebrities don't want their children's names in the news, that's fine, because that's protecting their children. But if their children have, you know, got arrested for doing drugs, then that's their child's behavior, and their public act has become, should remain there for people to find out. But it's kind of a weird situation where I do nonetheless now feel kind of grateful that the right to be forgotten does exist, because we've seen some people using it the way it should be used. The way it was intended to be used. Like you say, removing fake news about themselves, or just defamatory stories, that even if a newspaper retracted the story and said, I'm sorry, it's still there.
Yeah.
And they use the right to be forgotten to actually get rid of that article, which has been, by all parties, agreed to be false.
But that's the thing, isn't it?
There's so much if and but, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then...
I mean, it almost has to be under a court of law, be proven to be either false, or which information's false, or which publications.
So maybe that should be...
It can't be so blanket, can it? Like, if it's a right to be forgotten and they remove all the information about you, that's when it's abused, when it's just a blanket.
Yeah. I mean, just think about, like, the Panama Papers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's already so much secrecy in the world. If people are able to remove information that could potentially lead, you know, the paper trial, the digital paper trial, that can lead to... big scandals, and that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Good point. Maybe, sorry,
I was just going to say, Google like wasn't alone in this case. People that or companies that supported Google was Microsoft, the Wikimedia Foundation, Wikimedia Foundation, the non-profit Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, and the UK Freedom of Expression Campaign Group, Article 19.
Yeah,
I think they all supported. Yeah. All supported Google in this case, so I think this was on balance. If I had to take a side, I agree with you. I think like it has been used for good, but yeah, I think it's just one of those like laws that had too much gray area, so maybe it's good to test the boundaries of it, like with this case. Maybe that's it.
I'm not sure there's a way that it can't, though.
Although you hit upon something. If people can agree a set of criteria that say under these circumstances only, you have the right. But I guess that's what the whole process is. You don't just say, delete my data, and they have to delete it, right? You have to make a court filing. It's a court request, isn't it? So there is some assessment of your request that has to be made before it actually is carried out by the company. Is that right? That's correct.
I don't think they have to go to court at the moment for this law. They contact the company.
And the company can decide.
Yeah.
Well, they have, like, if it's if it falls into the category of like what is considered that can be removed, like if it's sensitive personal information, or that kind of thing.
Be interesting to know.
Well, they, this is interesting as well. This relates to what I was saying earlier. So the court also issued a second ruling, which said that the links do not automatically have to be removed just because they contain information about a person's sex life or a criminal conviction, because that's pertinent information. Yeah. Like you were saying, that's information that's in the public record. People almost have a right to know that.
Yeah, in a way. Depends on the sex life.
Maybe not the personal, sex life.
But depends what the information is. Yeah, if they're a paedophile, then probably.
Committed a criminal conviction. It ruled that such listings could be kept where strictly necessary for people's freedom of information rights to be preserved. However, it indicated a high threshold should be applied and that such results should fall down search listings over time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's easy for a court to say that.
Yeah.
But again, that's Google's algorithm. How does Google do that in an impartial way across the board with hundreds, like thousands, millions of different requests?
And as someone who's a massive, massive history buff and fan of information being put widely available and readily available, which is one of the things I love about the internet, if the law says to Google and all similar search engines, you have to make sure that that information slowly drops out of the algorithm, essentially, like you say, then that's just withholding information from people, right?
But then, isn't that just what they're doing with YouTube?
Oh.
I'm opening up a can of worms there on purpose.
No, yeah.
Let's be honest. It seems like that's the case a lot with YouTube as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. But I think...
they're not getting rid of it, but it's just like... I suppose for those exact terms and doesn't come up.
The implication of my response then was that if YouTube were doing it now by their own volition, then YouTube are wrong and we can argue against it. But if the court orders them to do it, then we can't argue against it. We have to take it to the court.
Yeah.
The punching bag becomes kind of different.
And then, but then it's also, I guess, one of those things is a private company that can do what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
Information. Yep. And then the others. Is the court, is the law, well, that's, law of the land.
There's definitely a contrast, isn't there, between being such a private company, can do whatever they like you say, and then this being people's very public lives, being in the hands of massive corporations. It's just, where does that line lie? And if it's just to do with big private companies deciding on the morality to, on their moral compass to base their decisions on, then it becomes very, very difficult.
Yeah, especially when these private companies, they are private companies, yes, and they have free rein to, you know, take off the content from their platform that they, whatever they want. But also, they have such a wide-reaching, you know, like people can almost not live without it now.
Yes.
People's livelihoods depend on it, you know, including us.
Yes.
so, yeah, it's one thing to say, oh, we're a private company, but also... Yeah, but you're more than that now. You've become like a what's the word? Like food and water, a necessity almost.
Yeah, necessity, and also something that has pretty much monopolized the search engine market.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing. It's man. I mean, this is not the only example. There are many examples in the history of companies who essentially dominate one sphere of their sector, and people kind of forget that there are other companies out there. They just happen to be so small and insignificant. And that's the weird thing about our free markets. And it's why we'll never get it right. Because in politics, politics decides how economies work. Economies by politicians. So you'll always have this constant battle between the side who want lots of government regulation, precisely for this kind of scenario where you've got companies that are too big. And the governments, those people are saying, well, either we need to break you up and make you smaller to preserve this competitive market, or we need to introduce regulations that mean you follow, you do the right thing. Just to be sure. It's not that we don't trust you. It's that we want to make sure nothing bad ever happens because you're too powerful. And then the other side, the people who say, no, the principle of the thing is no regulation. And then the upside of that, obviously, is that companies can flourish and become huge. But then you get this quandary of this, like, wait a second. Who watches the watchers? What's going on? You know,
And the point of capitalism, I guess, is to always be, you know, like growing and bigger and
yeah,
yeah. So yeah. If you put an end goal on the end of it, then it kind of diminishes the point of it, I guess. I don't know, but
I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm saying in many people's eyes that might be like if you're putting like this is okay, you can go but only this far.
Yeah.
Then that might
it depends how high, because the rhetoric is always aspiration. It's always about we're helping the people who are aspiring to be better, who aspire to succeed. That's what we're doing. We're creating a system that's loose enough so that people who can succeed will succeed. But if you set a bar, a goal, then the people at the bottom are still like, that's a very high bar, but I'm still going to try to reach it.
Mm.
It's only the people who are already at the bar who can be like, hey, this is bad.
Yeah,
it just so happens that they're the ones with all the money, and therefore
that's society in general, right?
Yeah,
and then the people that are already at the bar—that's
that's how taxes work, right?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's happy when they're at the bottom. It's at the top when they get annoyed at taxes. Sorry, Alex, you're going to say something.
I was just going to say it's probably, and then it's easier for people at the bar to then make a new company or something and get that also up to the bar.
And then you reach that point, which part of me, like the dark part of me, would still like to reach that Rupert Murdoch level of just like, I just own things.
Mm.
It's like, wait a second, what do you do? I own things. Like, but you don't do anything. I own things. Like, what is going on here? And then I sell them to Disney. Like, what? What? How does that work?
And I want a piece.
But yeah, anyway. That was my story. It might not seem like it.
It
by
was
the end
really
there,
interesting, yeah.
But that was my story on the new law that the top EU court made regarding Google's right to be forgotten. But what do you think about this case? Do you think that Google should have to follow this law and delete people's personal data like around the world? Or do you think that sets a dangerous precedent? Let us know in the comments below.
Yeah, and another question. Would you like a similar law, if you're not in the EU, to be introduced in your country?
Mm.
And if not,
your right
why not?
To be forgotten.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
In other words, have you done anything wrong?
That's not what I'm digging for, so you know.
Cool. Quiz time?
Yes!
Let's do it. Okie dokie.
Okie dokie, that's quiz time.
Okie dokie, picking a pokey. Morning, job seekers. What's that from? That's question number one.
David Cameron's Pig Hour.
Nah, it's from The League of Gentlemen. But aside from that, I have 10 lovely questions, plus a bonus question if you're tired, but we'll do it anyway.
Okay.
For you, there's no theme.
If we're tired.
If we're tired, we'll just forget it. If we're tired, we'll forget it. If we're tired, we'll definitely do it. And if there's somewhere in between, then we'll do it anyway.
Okay.
10 beautiful questions for you.
10 beautiful questions.
The best questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we need to do buzzers.
Buzzers, yeah. Alex, what's your buzzer?
I've gone for a YouTube classic. Kent, do you recognize this?
Yes. Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. Chocolate rain.
Amazing.
So good.
Absolute classic.
And Robin.
Impossible.
Oh.
That's Bane.
That is Bane from The Dark Knight Rises.
Very good. Very good.
Very
okay.
Good. Okay.
A film that's simultaneously underrated and not as good as you remember.
The trilogy as a whole is
really good.
Yeah. It's put on a pedestal, isn't it? And then you think about Batman Begins and The Dark Knight probably being the best two.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I've only seen Dark Knight Rises once. And
same.
Even then I was just like, there's so many things in this that just don't make sense.
A couple of holes.
Yeah.
I need to watch it again.
Just a few holes. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
Away from holes and on to question number one.
Question number one.
How
this
deep
week
is this hole on?
Oh.
You're ruining question number one. It's minus 1 point. Question number one. This week, the UK Supreme Court ruled that the prorogation of Parliament was unlawful.
Oh.
Mm.
But how many judges ruled this way?
Was it 11?
It was 11.
Yes.
Yep.
Nice.
Well done.
Too fast.
Well, I wasn't 100% sure, but I thought it was, yeah.
I can rephrase the answer and say it was 100% of them.
Oh, very good. Very good. You didn't get any points, but fantastic.
Okay.
Question number two.
Okay.
The Rugby World Cup, hooray,
oh, goodness
is underway this week, in brackets up here, which is amazing. I'm reading this, by the way, if anyone's listening. With 20 countries represented from every continent apart from Antarctica, of course, which is the only country representing the continent of Africa?
Oh, bugger.
What's the only country representing
the continent of Africa? Impossible. I mean, is that your answer?
I'm assuming it's South Africa.
Other than South Africa? Sorry, I missed out South Africa. Namibia as well. I forgot about Namibia. I wouldn't say they're a tier two team. I forgot about that.
So what was the answer? Namibia? Really?
Yeah, the answer was Namibia.
Okay. But if you got about South Africa,
you can have a point for that. Because that's right.
That's all right.
You really like rugby, don't you?
I do, and I totally forgot about South Africa. It's all right. There's another question, so I'm going to redeem myself and hope that one's correct. So that's embarrassing. Question number three. What was IGN's Game of the Year in 2013?
2013? Ooh. Impossible. Got the dates wrong, but The Last of Us?
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Wow.
Well done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That excited makes for sense. Part makes two? Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks really good.
Mm. Looks I would have given scary. A clue of there's been a trailer recently. Yeah. Non-trailer. That's really. All right. Well done, next Robin. Year, well right? Done. Next year? No.
Is it next year? Oh, yeah. Next year.
I think early next year, actually.
Yeah.
Cool, yeah. Looking forward
In fact, All Time Gaming made a great video about Sony's year in gaming. Little video essay by Jamie. Go check it out on All Time Gaming. Mm, very good.
Those are very good, actually. There's many video essays.
Yeah, I like those. Yeah.
Question number four. It's one all. How many characters made up the Fellowship in The Lord of the Rings?
Wait, like, how many characters in... So, not the film. Nine.
Yes.
Damn okay. it. I thought you were gonna,
No, I did know, but like I didn't know if you meant how many characters were
in the whole the film. Entire of the Lord of the
Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah. The Fellowship of the Ring. Yeah.
You were thinking of the entire film.
Well, I got it right, so let's move on.
Every orc. Well done.
How many of them survive?
Well, I mean,
technically.
Yeah, are you being technical about it? Like six, I want to say. Six?
This isn't a question in the quiz.
Technically, seven. Thank you very much.
Are you including
including Gandalf's fall?
Gandalf the Grey dies.
Yeah.
Gandalf the White comes back.
And also Boromir.
Yeah, but
and
also, Boromir. I mean, they kind of go off into the lands afterwards, Frodo and Gandalf. And that's true, I'm realizing
a
I'm,
metaphor. Yeah.
I'm being too nerdy here. Let's move on.
Question number five. According to a recent Business Insider study, which is the best country in the world to be a woman?
That's the answer. Yeah. I'm going to say Norway because everything's great in Norway.
No.
Oh.
I'm going to say the happiest place on earth, Denmark.
No.
Oh. Mm.
Clue, you're both very close.
Oh.
Three, two, one.
Sweden.
Yeah. one point each. Well done. Three, two to Alex.
Yeah, first row.
In which movie does one of the two lead protagonists claim to be the songbird of his generation?
Oh,
the songbird of his generation.
Oh my gosh, I know that. It's a movie.
It's a movie.
It sounds like Will Ferrell. So it's going to be...
Well, you've given him the answer.
Is it Step Brothers?
It is Step Brothers. Yeah, well done. Yep. Good movie.
It's all right. I probably would have gone for Blades of Glory. I've been wrong.
Another one I haven't seen in a while.
Blades of Glory?
No, never seen Blades of Glory. Step Brothers. Really? Yeah. Need to watch both again, / for the first time. Well done, 4-2. Alex.
Yeah.
I do feel kind of bad. I wouldn't have got it without that that little Will Ferrell prompt.
That's all right. Mm. Like I said, I would have guessed the wrong thing and then you would have got the prompt. And,
oh, maybe. Yeah.
Said it now.
Question number seven. How many kilometers are there in the absolute, but it's meant to be obsolete, unit of distance, one spat?
How many kilometers in one spat?
In one spat.
Five.
No.
Oh. Is it closest wins?
Impossible. Yeah, 1.8.
Fucking how do you lose that? It's 1 billion. Anything over
know.
Five, you're one. So why not?
I don't know. Like,
oh no.
What is a spat? Apparently, exactly. It's 1 billion kilometers.
A billion kilometers as a unit in space.
I'm guessing. Yeah,
it's obsolete. They couldn't measure anything with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why is it obsolete? What's wrong with it?
No, you just don't use it anymore. Don't bother.
Yeah.
So
stupid
well
scientist and the stupid words.
So Robin, you've got to get the rest of these right now. It's 5-2.
Oh dear. Well, I've lost.
Okay. Just be quick with the buzzer. Who is older, Matt Damon or Joaquin Phoenix?
Matt Damon.
Joaquin Phoenix.
It's Matt Damon.
Oh,
he's 45. Joaquin Phoenix is 44.
Oh, wow.
No way.
Yeah, okay. It's crazy. Cause
yeah, it looks old.
Yeah, I remember Walk the Line was back in 2005, 14 years ago. So he was 30.
Yeah.
He looks older than 30.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, he looks a lot older than 30.
And maybe they made him up to be older.
But
6'2", what an axe. Very good.
Very good.
Another older.
I've just been revising when I've been away.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing.
Related to the previous question somewhat, if both were alive today, who would be older, Johnny Cash or Elvis?
Elvis.
Johnny Cash.
It's Johnny Cash.
Damn it. Come on.
1932 versus 1935. And question number 10.
Okay.
Who is the richest person in the UK?
In the UK? Good question.
Impossible. The Queen.
No.
Oh.
I mean, business person.
Okay. Say, because she is.
James Dyson. Mr.
Not
Dyson.
James Dyson.
Lord something of your mum.
Not Lord something of your mum. No, it's a guy called Jim Ratcliffe.
Deals in chemicals.
Oh, apparently. Jimmy. Yeah.
Cool, right.
Yeah.
Ooh.
At least it was last year.
That seems to be a business. That's the way to go in the UK. Become a chemical. That's not what I meant to say.
Become a chemical.
That's why I lost this quiz.
Well, Alex, that was fairly convincing. 7-2, I believe. So well done.
Horrifically good.
Your brain's been refreshed by the time away.
Mm. Good question.
And you smashed it out of the park.
Does that mean the bonus question relates to rugby?
Of course the bonus question relates to rugby.
Hey.
How many times has New Zealand won the Rugby World Cup?
Ooh, that's a very good one.
7.
I think I remember.
Can I change my answer?
Only been 8 Rugby World Cups.
I want to say 3.
Well, you had your guess, Robin. What do you think?
I was going to say 3.
It's 3. Well done, Robin. You got the question
thank
right.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, that's the quiz. So it was a mess, but I hope you enjoyed it.
It was a great mess.
It was good.
Yeah, thank you. That was a good quiz. How did you guys do at home? Please let us know in the comments or again on Twitter. Thank you for listening, as always. I had a great time. Alex is back. Martin's here. We're all the teams back together. Yay!
Yeah. Woo! Putting the band back together.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be a terrible concert.
Just without instruments. Do you play anything? You play the guitar, right?
I can.
You do now?
I dabble in the guitar.
You do?
I'm better at the ukulele.
Drums, guitar, yodeling.
Okay then. Well, thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.